Today I want to discuss a few, go through some of the basics of Yom Tov of Shavuos. Basics to go through. I'm using today the Sefer Sha'arei Yimei HaPesach. He has a section, Yimei HaPesach. I know we're up to Shavuos, but at the end of the Sefer he has a section on the Yom Tov of Shavuos. We've used this Sefer a number of times by Rabbi Tezner, Rabbi Yehuda Tezner. And he has here, let's just go through some of the basics, the basic yesodos of this Yom Tov. First of all, how many, Shavuos is unique in that it has many names. They say about certain people, a man of many talents, a lot of different faces, names. Shavuos from all of the Chagim has the most names. In the Torah alone, it's called by three different titles. Number one, it's called Chag Shavuos. That's probably the most popular. We call it Shavuos. Shavuos means weeks. It's the end of the counting of the Omer. Shiva Shavuos Tisfalach. We don't call the end of the days. Okay, we don't call the end of 50 days. We call the end of weeks. That's interesting. Why the Yom Tov is called the Chag Shavuos when really Shavuos is the end of counting 7 weeks and counting 50 days. We drop the days. We focus on the weeks. That also obviously connects us directly back to Pesach, because Pesach is when the count begins. The second day of Pesach, we bring the Omer, is when the count begins, and we conclude with Chag HaShavuos. And by the way, don't confuse Chag Shavuos with a Shiva. There are Shavuos and Shavuos. When we pronounce it with a Komatz, Shavuos, it means weeks. When we pronounce it with a Shiva, Shavuos, it means oaths. There's a Masechta in Shatz called Masechta Shavuos, which means the Masechta of oaths. And how many daf are there in Masechta Shavuos? 49. Really, it's 48 because you start on daf base. So right away, you can make a mistake and think, oh, look at that. There are 49 days in Sfiras Omer, in the 7 weeks, and there are 49 daf in Masechta Shavuos. So there's a Shidduch. It's the same letters, the same number of days, the same number of dafim. There must be, there is a connection. And indeed, there are people who have the custom to learn between Pesach and Shavuos a daf a day, in addition to the very busy schedule, learning a daf yomi, learning Mishnah yomi, learning Ram yomi, learning Dirshu, coming to the Koilel, and doing all these other things. And don't forget Shnai Mikav Yechad Targum. They also like to learn a daf a day of Masechta Shavuos. But the question is, my inyan Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai, what does Shavuos have to do with Shavuos? So there is a connection, because what happened on the Yom Tov of Shavuos? Hashem made an oath. Hashem made an oath that He would never abandon us. And we made an oath to pledge our loyalty to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So indeed, the Yom Tov of Shavuos was a time of Shavuos. So the two, indeed, there is a connection, but even though there is a connection, you should always remember Shavuos and Shavuos. If the Baal Kori says, Chag HaShavuos Ta'aseh Lecha, you're in a lot of trouble. Okay? The Baal Kori doesn't know his Shavuos from his Shavuos. You got a problem, you have to be careful. Now, what else is it called? It's also called Yom HaBikurim, another name for the Yom Tov, the day of the first fruits. It's the day when every farmer has to bring the first fruits to the Beis HaMikdash and to wave it in all four directions. They can bring in a basket. There's a difference between the poor and the rich. The poor bring in gold baskets, in beautiful baskets, and the rich bring in expensive baskets, and the poor bring in wicker baskets. It's the opening season of bringing Bikurim. And the big ultimate Bikurim is bringing the Mincha Chadosh, is the Shtei Halechem, bringing grain from the new crop. You bring a carbon mincha. A mincha, special mincha, two loaves of bread. It's brought from grain wheat from this year's crop, and that's the time when you're allowed to bring menuchos from the new year's crop in the Beis Hamikdash. Let's clarify this. This is confusing. Not everyone is aware of this. Is that we know that the Chodosh is mutter from Pesach. Once Pesach begins, then we know that you're allowed to purchase grain that is from the new crop, that has grown from this year's season. Until Pesach, you have to be careful, at least in Eretz Yisrael, and some Amachim and Chutz L'Eretz, not to purchase a bread product, a mezonos product, that has grown this year. Because it's Chodosh, and Chodosh is also until you bring the Omer. Now, even after you bring the Omer and you're allowed to eat a grain from this year's crop, that is only b'medina, that's only in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael, but you're not allowed to bring a mincha in the Beis Hamikdash from the new crop. Every single carbon you bring is accompanied by a carbon mincha. The carbon mincha had to come from the old crop, from Yashan. They had to keep track of the serial numbers in the Beis HaMikdash until Shavuos. Chodosh is not mutter in the Beis HaMikdash until they bring the mincha chadasha, until they bring the shtei halachem, which comes from the new crop of wheat in on Shavuos. So that's why it's also called the Yom HaBikurim. The third name in the Torah is Atzeres. Atzeres, Chag Atzeres. It's called in Torah Chag Atzeres, the time of the ingathering. Now, in the Rabbanon, wait, did I leave out something? We call Chag HaShavuos, Chag HaBikurim, and I left out one, Chag HaKotzir. I left that one out. Chag HaKotzir. The Yom Tov is called the Festival of Harvest. Chag, because that's the time when we begin the harvest season is in full blossom. And in the Rabbanon, it's called Chag, called Atzeres. Why is it called Atzeres? It comes from the Targum. The Targum of Uv'yoyim HaBikurim is the Atzraschun. Mincha Chadato Kodem Hashem Be'atzraschun. The translation for b'shavu oseichem in the Targum is atzeres, and that is why in the Rabbanon, in all the rabbinic literature, the Yom Tov that we call today Shavuos is called the Chag Atzeres, which also has a reminder that Shavuos is the end of Pesach. Just like there's Shmini Atzeres, it's the end of Sukkot, and just like Atzeres, there's a seventh day to the first day of Sukkot, first day of Pesach. We also call Shavuos Atzeres because to some degree it is the end of Pesach. On Pesach we bring the Omer, we count 50 days. The purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim is to mekabel the Torah. There's a goal. Yitzias Mitzrayim, freedom, is not an end to itself. The purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim, freedom, is in order to serve Hashem and mekabel the Torah. That took place on the Yom Tov of Shavuos. We refer to it by calling Shavuos the Atzeres, the ingathering, the conclusion of Pesach. Okay, let's go to another idea. Minogim. It is the minhag to stay up the entire night of Shavuos. Why do we do this? We all taught as children because Klal Yisrael made a fatal mistake and they went to sleep. They had a good night's sleep. They went to sleep the night of Shavuos and Moshe has told them tomorrow Hashem will give you the Torah. They got all excited. We're getting the Torah tomorrow. Okay, let's get a good night's sleep. They went to sleep and they did not wake up. And Moshe had to come around the next morning and to wake them up. They woke up late and gathered them to Har Sinai to receive the Torah. Hashem came early and Hashem was waiting for us. It sounds like what happens. All Rabbanim have this problem. They come, they're the first ones to come to the Shir. They come and Hashem wasn't there, and the Klal Yisrael was not there. Moshe had to gather them. So therefore, in order to make up for this terrible thing, the Zilzla not arriving early to receive the Torah, for all generations, we are mekabel upon ourselves to stay up the entire night, and in order to lain, to be mekabel the Torah nice and early, when we lay in the Kriyas HaTorah, or B'chodesh HaShlishi, to lain the Aseres HaDibros. Now, interestingly enough, this is what we've all been taught as children. But he brings it over here, the Rav Chaim Felage, very famous, one of the Sfaradik Poskim, we always quote from Rav Chaim Felage, he says just the opposite. What?
Pelagi.
Some pronounce it with a fe, some with a pe. I've heard all different Rabbanim pronounce it both ways. Pelage, and some say filage. Whatever it is. But he has a chiddush, he says just the opposite. He has a tradition, it was just the opposite. That Klal Yisrael was up the entire night. They couldn't sleep. They were so excited. They were so nervous. To be mekabel the Torah, it wasn't possible for them to sleep the entire night. To commemorate the anxiety, to commemorate the excitement, to commemorate the trepidation of our ancestors, we also stay up the entire night. So he completely turns them mikotze la kotze. So here, Rav Tezna says, it's not a kasha, it's not far-fetched to say, Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim. There were different groups. There were different segments of Klal Yisrael. There were some groups in Klal Yisrael that took it very seriously and were up the entire night waiting to commemorate their anticipation for the Kabbalah Satorah. We also stay up the entire night. But there were also groups in Klal Yisrael that did not take it seriously enough. And they went to sleep. And they had to be wakened up early in the morning by Moshe Rabbeinu. Where are you? Well, how come you're late? So to commemorate their laziness and their lack of motivation, we have to stay up the entire night. So Mitzvah Tzadim, we are required to stay up the entire night to commemorate what happened or what did not happen the night of Kabbalah Satorah. This is a very well-known Vart here, which we're repeating it. This became very famous in recent years. Years ago, it was not so popular. Those that learned that Klal Yisrael did go to sleep the night before Kabbalah Satorah, the obvious question is, how could it possibly be? These are the greatest people, the greatest of the great. They already reached the pinnacle of Kedusha after 49 days of leaving Mitzrayim, witnessing the miracles, the Tanakos, Kriyas Yamsuf, surviving in the desert for 50 days. How could it possibly they went to sleep the night before Matan Torah? Weren't they nervous? Weren't they anticipating Matan Torah? So Rav Tzadok, among many others, say that we know that all Nevi'im received prophecy when they were sleeping. Only Moshe Rabbeinu was unique in that he was able to communicate with the Kadosh Baruch Hu when he was awake. But all of the other prophets, there are 48 major prophets, and Chazal said there were 1,200,000 prophets. When they received their prophecy, it was in a dream, in a chazoin, in a vision, and they were in a state of unconsciousness. Klal Yisrael thought that we're going to be mekabel the Torah in our dreams. How are we going to be mekabel the Torah? Tomorrow morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, Kabbalah Satorah. So if we get a good night's sleep, so by the time it's 6 a.m., we'll reach rapid eye movement, REM. REM takes, that's at the very end of a person's sleep. That's when you reach REM, when your mind is in a state to communicate with the sublime, with the other world. So we'll get a good night's sleep, we'll go to sleep at 10 o'clock, and then by 6 o'clock in the morning, our mind will be in the perfect state, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come, will be Mekabel Torah in the form of a chazoin, in a vision. That is why they deliberately went to sleep the night before Kabbalah Satorah. Moshe Rabbeinu woke them up the next morning, he making a big mistake. Kabbalah Satorah, it's true, when it comes to all the Nevi'im from Mikanu Lahaba, all future generations, they're going to receive their communication in a dream, but not Kabbalah Satorah. Kabbalah Satorah, every member of Klal Yisrael is in the Madrig of Moshe Rabbeinu, where you are Mekabel the Torah in a full state of consciousness, a full state of awareness. It's a very important lesson. Kabbalah Satorah has to be, you are fully aware of what you are doing. Reminds me, you know, of the beginning of the Torah, the Darshanim said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to create Adam, Keret Chava, Vayiven Es Atzel. Hashem had to do a surgical procedure. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put Adam HaRishon to sleep. Vayapel Alav Tardema. Hashem put Adam HaRishon to sleep. And then he did this surgical procedure, take out the rib to make Chava. It does not say anywhere in the Torah that he woke up. He woke up. So there is something that's a very fascinating point. He went to sleep, he never woke up. And Chava was created. And we're living in a dream. We're all living in the dream of Adam HaRishon. But think about it. Did you ever have a dream where in your dream you went to sleep and you had a dream? Did you ever have such a type of dream? That's a little bit deep, right? I go to sleep, and in my sleep, I'm active, and while I'm active, I go to sleep. And in my sleep, I have a dream within a dream. So Klal Yisrael, when it came to Kabbalah Satorah, it was like a dream within a dream. Well, anyway, we're all in the dream of Adam HaRishon. And now, in that, they thought they're going to go to sleep to Mekabel the Torah. No! Kabbalah Satorah has to be in a state of full awareness. Okay, what do you learn at night? Halacha l'mayis, all the good elements in the Bizman HaZeh, you learn kol ashali v'chafetz. The ikar is to learn not to waste one moment. If a person is sensitive to these matters, he'll know that every moment of the night is special and should not be wasted by the coffee machine and by eating all this poisonous calories and sugar and cheesecake. This is not what the night was meant to be. It was meant to sit and learn, not to eat and have delicacies and have entertainment. It's a time for serious learning. The Shlo HaKadosh, the Shnei Luchos HaBris, composed what's called Tikkun Lel Shavuos. Today it became very popular to find it, at least in the bookstores. I don't know if it's so popular popular people actually use. I don't think it's too popular people actually saying it, but at least in the bookstore it's very popular to find. Years ago, whoever heard of Tikkun Lul Shavuos? And even if you heard, yeah? But where could you buy it? So Hasidim were into it.
We all had it.
So basically, what is Tikkun Lul Shavuos? It's the beginning of end of every parsha, the beginning and end of every Masechta Mishnayos, the beginning and end of every Masechta Gemara, the beginning in Masechta Shavuos, the beginning and end of every of all the sections of the Zohar. Okay, so this was composed. And there are other tefillos as well. I have one here in front of me in the Sefer.
You said the whole Ruz.
You have over here, he goes over here first to all Chamishay Chumshay Torah. And then it goes through Nevi'im and Ksuvim, the beginning of each one of the Nevi'im and Ksuvim, and the beginning of each one of the Mishnayos. And then it goes to each one of the Mesechtas, the Gemara. And then it goes to Sefer Yetzira. Okay? Now, possibly one of the most important things, this I never really appreciated, and some say you should really do this over in this Zohar and all these things, Zohar and Sefer Yetzirah, but this is something that's more important, more significant, is that Tayag Mitzvos. To read out the Tayag Mitzvos. Okay, whose Tayag Mitzvos is this? Who wrote this Tayag? There's a lot of versions of the Tayag Mitzvos. Doesn't say in this Sefer who wrote it, maybe the Shlomo wrote it.
Sefer
Mitzvos L'Rambam. Okay, L'Rambam. So maybe it's L'Rambam because there's the Ramban and the Smag and the all different versions. I don't know. I think maybe the Shlo selected which one he wanted. Maybe I'm not familiar, but I have here over here the Tayag Mitzvos and this. And they say it's talking point. If you're only going to say part of it, if you're not going to have time to say the entire Tikkun Lul Shavuos, you should focus on Tayag Mitzvos because that's what we will makabel the night of Shavuos. Doesn't take so long. It goes very very quickly. It's only a few pages, and you can say it. You
that's
can
summary.
What?
That's the summary.
Yeah, of course, the summary version. Just to go through 600 each mitzvah is like three words. Mitzvahs periyah urviyah, mitzvahs mila, shaloi lecho giranasha, mitzvahs kiddush hachodesh. It's something to put you in a different frame of mind when you go through Tayag Mitzvahs right before you read Aseres Hadibros. Doesn't take more than a couple of minutes, maybe 15 minutes to go through the entire thing. Okay, and okay, so that's something very interesting. Also, some have the custom over Shavuos to read, I don't know how you can do this, to read the entire Chamishei Chumshei Torah. You thought it was difficult to read, to go to Hashanah Rabbah. Anyone here go to Hashanah Rabbah to hear
Mishnah Torah?
So that's what you do. 2 hours. So over the Yom Div of Shavuos, you should read through the entire Chamish. Somehow that's a custom. I don't know anyone who does it, but it's brought down. It used to be a popular custom. Custom to go through. This is before the days of the cheesecake and all these things. People took it very seriously. To go through Chamishei Chumshei Torah inside over the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Now, question: let's say a person cannot be mekayim this minute; it's too difficult. Or if you're going to stay up the entire night, you'll see a real serious masmid. Let's talk about the real serious masmidim in the yeshivas. And if they're going to stay up a seder, they learn every day 10, 12 hours a day. And if they're going to stay up at night, it's going to stir their seder. But wipe them out, and they're going to end up losing time. They end up learning a lot less. Should they stay up at night to be mekayim this minute?
I don't know, but the davening is not going to have a time.
Davening is not going to have a time. Okay, let's assume. Okay, let's assume the davening was. Okay, let's assume the davening will still be okay. Okay, by that time you'll recover. But you're going to go. You're going to be thrown off schedule. What should you do? Interesting, they say that Rav Moshe Feinstein did not stay up. Rav Moshe was such an incredible masmid. Rav Moshe was an unusual. People don't appreciate the godliness of Rav Moshe's hasmada. Every minute was calculated. An incredible mind. And he did not stay up Shavuos night because it was a great loss for him. To stay up Shavuos night would completely throw him off schedule. So he did his regular routine. He anyway got up 5 o'clock in the morning, but he followed his regular routine. But what about? So he over here presents a very fascinating tshuva from someone asked this to Rav. Shlomo Zalman Arbach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Shlomo Zalman Arbach said to him, basically it depends. He says, if you're in a community, he's talking probably to a father or someone in Kolon, a community where everyone stays up at night. Everyone does this. And you have children, they're watching you. And if you're not going to step, you're not going to follow what the masses do, it's going to be perceived as a zilzal. as a zilzal. So he says you have to understand the stubbing to a minug. There's a minug Yisrael to stay up. It's a sacred minug. From time immemorial, we've been doing this as far as we know back to Matan Torah. This is something, it's a real minug. And sometimes minhagim cost. It costs money. You don't want to do a minug. You know, you have to pay money to do a minug. Sometimes minhagim cost time. And you lose out. And even though there's nothing more important than Talmud Torah, the basic message to this person was, I can't tell you what to do. You have to make a calculation. Well, you know, obviously there are many factors. You're going to get sick. You're not going to be able to daven altogether and so on and so forth. But if you can pull through and you can do like what everyone else does, even though it's going to come at the expense of losing out on your regular schedule learning Siddur, it's kedai. It's kedai to lose out on some learning in order to be mekayim a minig. It's not something, you hear this trend today, people that mevatel the whole thing. What a waste of time, what a mishagas, you mevatel, you do this or that. He's coming to reject that. Don't be so critical. A minog Yisrael has taikif. And a minog Yisrael comes with a price. It's not just the price of money, it's the price of time. It's even the price of losing out time you would normally end up learning more if you're really a mask. I'm not talking about people anyway, not mask. It doesn't make a difference to them. So be careful. Of course, if you're not going to be able to daven and it's going to completely destroy your life in any way, many people in your community do not stay up at night for various reasons. So then of course don't stay up at night. But you should take it seriously the best that you can. Okay, let's go to another idea. So we discuss what we learn. We discuss staying up at night. Now, by the way, the Briskers don't stay up at night. Okay, the Soloveitchik family. The Soloveitchik family, it's not their custom. This is not one of their things. And by the way, there's only one night a year, when you're mechuyev al pi halacha to stay up the entire night. And that is, does anyone know? Pesach night. It's a Ferish and Shulchan Aruch. Pesach night, when the Seder Zovi is supposed to be Saper, be it Siyas Mitzrayim, until Chotfenu Hashin, until you fall asleep. Sleep overtakes you. You mechuyev to stay up the entire night and talk about in Yonah Yitzias Mitzrayim. And all of the commentators, they're all baffled that no one is makbid on this. When it comes to Shuas night, Shuas night, what shul? You can't, and maybe that's what it means.
Yeah.
It's only in Minhag. Okay, you have to put everything in perspective. Staying up the entire night, Shavuos is only a minhag. It's not brought down in Shulchan Aruch anywhere. Staying up the night of Pesach is a halacha. Halacha until you fall asleep. If we really wanted to stay up the night of the Seder, even with the 4 cups of wine, believe me, we would be able to stay up. Most people anyway, probably 95% of the population does not drink wine that puts you in a state where you're out, you're intoxicated, where you fall asleep. It's the matzah and the maror. So if you really wanted to follow the halacha, you would not have such a large shulchan aruch. Okay, let's cut out the shulchan aruch. Let's just eat the bare minimum. And let's not eat double kazesim. Let's just eat. Let's not eat triple, quadruple kazesim. Let's just eat what it says on the chart. Okay, if you just follow what it says in the guidelines, it's not all that much. And the new charts are making it less and less. And you follow the trend. They're reevaluating all the kazesim and showing them that gesundheit, that the charts all based on matzah that's super super thin. And a lot of our matzah probably was double the thickness of what you required. So you can probably cut the kazesim down into half. So if you follow the guidelines. Believe me, if you wanted to stay up at night, the night of Pesach, you can stay up with no problem whatsoever. Because no one is looking to be machmir. No one. You haven't seen anyone look to be machmir since the night of Pesach. But it's a Shulchan Aruch. And Shavuos night, you wouldn't be caught dead. A young kid wouldn't be caught dead not staying up the night of Shavuos. So, what's going on? What does it say in Shulchan Aruch? And what doesn't it say in Shulchan Aruch? Obviously, we have our priorities are distorted. Okay, but let's put that aside. Now, let's go to... Oh, that's a new trend. They have the sign over here, right? The sign over here. That's only at 11:30, 11:15. The smart Rabbanim, they're speaking at 10 o'clock. You notice that? Look at the sign. 11:30, 11:45, and then there's a couple of Rabbanim, 10 o'clock. they know. Those are the Chachamim. They had to share the second and his tenant. Okay, let's go. A few more minutes, we're going to stop. One last topic. Yeah, he has here probably one of the best presentations I've ever seen any sefer to clarify this inyan, which to me is a total fog. Let's say you stay up the entire night. Comes time to make brachos in the morning. Which brachos are you really mechuyev to hear from someone else? I stay up the whole night. I stay up the whole day. Let's talk about when you stayed up the whole day. The day, like this is going to be Shabbos, right? So it's Shabbos going into Mitzvah Shabbos. Let's say you stay up the whole Shabbos. Shabbos afternoon, no napping, no cheating, preparation for Kabbalah Torah. You stay up the whole Shabbos afternoon, and then you stay up the whole night. And now it's the morning. Oh, brachos, Birchas HaShachar. Someone has to be moitzi me with Birchas HaShachar. So what are Birchas HaShachar? The 18 brachos of Nosan Lasechli, and then you have the bracha Mavir Shena, and you have Asher Yotza, Elokai Neshama, Netilas Yadayim, Tzitzis. Did I leave anything out? Birchas HaTorah, Birchas HaTorah. Which of those brachos are you really mechuyev to hear from someone else? So he goes to, and he basically says that b'di'evin, you can make them all yourself. That's what he shows. That when push comes to shove, you can pretty much make every bracha yourself. Talis, for sure, you can make yourself. Who has the problem? The problem is, one at a time, is a bach, we're out of time, we'll do a few more minutes, then we'll do more tomorrow. Who has the problem with talis? The one that has the real problem is a bachar. It's someone that does not wear a talis gadol. If you're wearing a talis gadol, if you sleep with your talis gadol overnight, which happens to people, they sleep overnight with their talis gadol, you can't make a bracha the next morning on that talis gadol. You can put on a different talis gadol, but if you're continuing to wear the talis gadol that you slept with the entire night, there's no such thing as taking the tzitz and shuckling the tzitz and making a bracha. No such thing. You're still continuing from yesterday. It's chayva of the beged. So a bracha who slept with his talis gadol the entire night cannot make a bracha in the morning on his talis gadol. Very simple solution. So go to sleep, come home after davening, come home, take off your talis gadol and put it back on. Put it back on and go take a go to sleep, whatever you go. You come home at 7 o'clock, so you go to sleep, take off your talis gadol. Okay, one thing at a time. Let's first talk about Sumi Iker Hadin. You're sitting there in shul the whole night. You cannot make. Oh, you want to make a bracha every single day of your life on a talis. So very good. So when you go home, you'll take off the talis and you'll go to sleep. You'll wake up and you'll put it back on. There'll be a hefsek. You can make a bracha then, or you can put on another talis gun. You can wear two talis guns for a few moments. You can put on another talis. You exchange. Take off the old sweaty one. Put on a clean one. You make another.
Yeah, I think
you put it on top. You can put a new one on top. You don't have to take off the old one. Scheinberg, he wore 100. What? I don't know what he did. I don't know. You got to read the book. I don't know who's mitzvah. But you can put on one on top. You can make another bracha. Okay. So what do they do? But I don't know why. For some reason they don't want to wait until later on. So the minig is that someone makes a bracha. It should be done. That's what the minig is. Someone puts on a talis gadol. So an adult puts on, a married man puts on the talis gadol, and he makes the bracha l'sa'atef bat tzitzis, and that patters all of the kinderlach from making a bracha of al mitzas tzitzis, because he yotz it with the bracha of the talis gadol for the talis gadol. It's one of the more important ones, and unfortunately in many shuls, this is the one they don't do. In a lot of shuls, they don't even do this one. They just start with I don't know what everyone. Sometimes it's not very well organized. Depends which shul you go to. If the rabbi is on top of the situation to make sure it's done correctly. But the truth is, that's one of the more important ones that the person should make. Not everyone knows the halacha. They'll go home later on. They'll take it off. They'll put it back on later. They're not going to do it. And this is a bracha that you really can't. You have to do right. So someone should make a bracha on the talis gadol, and you might see all the people that are wearing that are not married. That are with the bracha of al mitzvah tzitzis, and that's in the yotzeh for the day. They don't have to do anything. They can take it off, put it on later on. They put on later on. They really should make a bracha. They take it off.
If you take a nap, you probably have to make another.
Well, if you're still wearing it, you don't. If you take it off, if you take it off, then you do have to put it back on. But not everyone takes it off. They'll go home. They'll just lie down. They'll conk out. And this way, the bracha that was made in the morning was good. Okay, let's talk about netilas yadayim and asher yotza. This is asher yotza. There's nothing to talk about. If you go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, you make a bracha. You're done. Finished. Right. You make a bracha. What about Netilas Yudam? So this is the Mishnah Berurah. This is the beginning. Took Dir Shu Bechinas. They just started this. 30,000 people took the Bechinas on this halachas. I'm making an Al Netilas Yudam in the morning. There's a whole Dir Shu. They started the new cycle of Mishnah Berurah, the second cycle. So they had already the first test. The first test was a month ago. And this is one of the first halachas in Shulchan Aruch. It's about making Netilas. The Mishnah Berurah talks about making Netilas Yudam if you're up the entire night. And he basically says that if you touch, if your hands are dirty, l'chol hadeus, you can make an al netilasim. So, in other words, if you go to the bathroom, if you're a malach elokim, it doesn't apply to most people, if you're a malach elokim, it's at night, and you go to the bathroom at night, okay, before, let's say before it gets dark, okay, before it gets dark, you go to the bathroom. No, even in the middle of the night, you go to the bathroom, and your hands do not become dirty. It's shaykh, such a thing. You go to the bathroom, you use it, and you don't touch your body. Any time you use a towel or gloves when you're in the Beis HaKiseh. Person goes to the Beis HaKiseh for ketanim, and he doesn't touch any part of the body that's dirty. He's wearing gloves or he's using a towel. Then technically your hands are not dirty. So when you come out of the Beis HaKiseh, you make an Asher Yatzar. It's the morning. In the morning you did not go to sleep. If you went to sleep, just going to sleep requires you to make a brach of Al Netilas Yodayim. But I didn't go to sleep, so I can't make a brach of Al Netilas Yodayim because it's a new day. I'm a new person. It's a Birchas HaShachar because I didn't go to sleep. But you can make an Al Netilas Yodayim if your hands are dirty. You've touched part of your body. You touch part of your body in combination with the fact that it's now the morning, it's a new day. The Mishnah Berurah says, L'chol hadeus, you can make an Al Netilas Yadayim. Most poskim hold you can make an Al Netilas Yadayim in the morning after Alos HaShachar, even if your hands are clean. Just the fact that it's a new day has arrived, you're a new person, it's a new day of service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That alone is mechayiv you to make a brach of Al Netilas Yadayim. But some say no. The reason why you make an Al Netilas Yadayim in the morning is because you were sleeping. And when you're sleeping, you become tamei. So when you wake up in the morning, there's a ruach hatumah. You remove the ruach hatumah, so you clean your hands. But you don't have that problem when you're up the entire night because you never went to sleep. So the ruach hatumah never came upon you. So the Mishnah Berurah says, so you have a problem. But the Mishnah Berurah says, if you go to the bathroom, and in the bathroom you happen to touch part of the body which is normally covered, and it's also Alos HaShachar, everyone agrees you can now make a brach of Al Netilas Yadayim. So all you have to do in the morning to make an Asher Yatzar Al Netilas Yadayim is to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. And when you go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, make sure you don't use gloves. That's what he says. And don't use a towel, and behave in a normal. Don't do anything strange in the Beis HaKiseh. Do what you normally do in the Beis HaKiseh, and now you can make an Netilas Yadayim and an Asher Yatzar. So you don't really need that either. Okay, now what else? Birchas HaShachar. Birchas HaShachar. Now here's what's interesting. Birchas HaShachar. All the brachas. Asher Nosam Lasech Levino. It's really bizarre why they make all these brachas. You don't need to make the brachas. The only reason is because it appears that the Beis Yosef, the Mechaber holds that you only chayev to make the Birchas HaShachar if you went to sleep. If you did not, if you're a real Sfardi, only if you're a real Sfardi, you need someone to make you the Birchas HaShachar. But if you're not a real Sfardi, you can't, you can make the brachas even if you're up the entire night. Now, even the Sfardim don't follow this halacha. They follow the Arizal, that you can be up the entire night and you can still make the Birchas HaShachar. So the truth is, there's really no makar to make the Birchas HaShachar. It appears the reason why we make all the Birchas HaShachar is because we give kavod to the Mechaber, and we make the Birchas HaShachar like the Sfardim. All the Ashkenazim are following the Sfardim. And even the Sfardim, which normally don't follow the Beis Yosef from this halacha, they're being machmir to make all the Birchas HaShachar. But if you're all alone and you don't hear the brachas, there's no question about it, you can make all the Birchas HaShachar by yourself. So you don't Birchas HaShachar, you make yourself. Al Netilas Yadayim and Ashrei, you make yourself. Talis, take it off, put it back on when you take a nap. So you can do it yourself. So you're really safe. So what's the only problem? There are two problems. Hamavir Shena, That's a big, big problem. That Yutaka needs someone to make the bracha for you, and the bracha of Elokai Neshama. Those two brachas. Now, even those two brachas, b'di'eved, some hold you can make them also, and you can be mechavein. You can be mechavein if you really want with tchias hamesim. Mechaya hamesim covers those brachas as well. So yotze when you say mechaya hamesim in the Shemona Esrei, and then the other problem is birchas satora. Birchas satora you have to make every single morning, but you have to go to sleep. So that's why we have someone be mitze with birchas satora. And but b'di'eved you could be samech on a havarabah. So pretty much, if you don't make any brachas, you're safe. Because for birchas haTorah, you can be samech on a havarabah. And for l'kai neshama and l'mavir shena, you can be samech on mechayi hamesim. But l'chatchili, you want to have all these brachas, so someone who slept makes the bracha of birchas haTorah for you. Someone makes the bracha of mavir shena. Someone makes the bracha of a l'kai neshama. In order to avoid the problem of tzitzit, someone makes a bracha on the talis gadol. In order to be machmir, once you sing already a l'kai neshama, so you already say asher yotzar. Because asher yotzar and a l'kai neshama is a bracha smuch l'chaverta. You don't have baruch. And once already sing asher yotzah, so you already throwing out the tilas yadayim, because maybe you didn't touch any part of your body the entire night. Your hands are clean, which is really, really far fetched to say. But you make ready the alma tilas yadayim. And the birchas shachar we're doing to be covered to the Beis Yosef that says that you should really, if you did not sleep, then you should not make the birchas shachar. Someone should make it for you. Okay, any other brachas we left out? I think those are pretty much all of the brachos, right? We did everything. And it's a time of Shiyotz, L'chai Neshama, B'chus Shachar, and Tils Yedai.
When do you have the Chiyam of Kiddush?
Kiddush after Kiddush is Machlokes, either after Shemona Esrei or after Laning. When does the Chiyam of Kiddush kick in? In the Ger Hasidim.
Before davening in the morning?
Yes, absolutely. Can you eat? You can eat. You're not supposed to eat before you daven. But there's no chiv kiddush. That's a separate issue. Do people eat before davening? So chassidim, they do it. Lubavitch, that's the first thing you do. First is have a breakfast. Then is davening. So after alois hashachar, the minig is you're not supposed to eat. If you're very, very weak, you can eat. But the chiv kiddush kicks in after kriyas haTorah. That is why by ger chassidim, they learn before the laning,
yes,
and they eat. They have coffee before, because the chiyuv of making kiddush first begins after you lane, after kriyas haTorah. So you're able to eat before, according to them at least. Okay, but that's pretty much the laws of the bracha. So we'll stop here.